that does it for our broadcast. You can go to our website, democracynow.org, for a DVD. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Burke, Truth of the Caboose, John Hamilton, Elizabeth Press, Aaron Matej, Jen Yutz, Anjali Kamak, Mike DiFilippo, Nick Marsilio, Miguel Nogueira, our engineers. Special thanks also to Becca Staley, Hugh Grand, John Randolph, Jose Miranda, Jerome Bourgeois, Tori Townsend, Nicole Salazar, Samantha Chamblee. On Thursday night, be at the New School with John Pilger. He'll be on our show on Thursday morning. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
And you heard Democracy Now! Through, I believe, only the right channel in some places. And now, even though I'm only hearing myself in the right channel, I think we're coming out over both channels. Why don't you tell us what channels we're coming out over? We're WUSB Stony Brook, where the programming is kind of unpredictable sometimes, but right now, it's 6 o'clock, and I predict that means it's time for Off the Wall. And good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour or so here on a Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, I really don't want to have to complain every single week I come in here that it's sweltering hot inside the studio. But I really think we have enemies down in central planning or whoever sends the air to the various places here, because I've never seen it this bad. Usually, first couple of weeks of spring, they pump the heat in. But, wow, it's been every week this year so far. A bunch of sweating people around here. But, you know, we're going to make it through. We're going to do this thing. We're going to get through the hour. I don't know how people make it for 3 hours. Some people do three-hour shows here. I honestly don't know how it's possible. I guess it just takes a certain amount of stamina. All right, well, it's the first week of June, first Tuesday of June, and interesting day today. Scooter Libby, of course, got sentenced to prison for his role in the... Well, I don't know if it's really that much of a role in the whole Valerie Plame outing that took place years ago. Today he got 30 months in prison. He was, of course, the former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney. Why wasn't Dick Cheney ever even questioned? He got 30 months in prison for lying to investigators who were looking into the leak of a CIA operative's identity. Now, the interesting thing about this case is that the people who actually did the leaking, those people walked away. Absolutely nothing happened to them. Makes you think, doesn't it? It wasn't really about that. It's about finding a fall guy somehow. And they sure found one. In fact, even one of the jurors, let's see if I can find the comment here, kind of fascinating. One of the jurors referred to him in that way. We're not saying we didn't think Mr. Libby was guilty of the things we found him guilty of, but it seemed like he was the fall guy. Yeah, that from Dennis Collins, a Washington resident and self-described registered Democrat. Who wound up on the jury. But yeah, Richard Armitage, the Deputy Secretary of State, was the initial and primary source for columnist Robert Novak's article of July 14, 2003, which named Valerie Plame as a CIA operative. And that was reported last year, August 30th, 2006, in the New York Times. And CNN also reported that Armitage had been confirmed by sources as disclosing Mrs. Wilson's CIA role in a casual conversation with Robert Novak. So this guy's going around dropping names in a way that could get people killed. And why? Because Valerie Plame's husband was criticizing the war in Iraq. Criticizing the Bush administration. How dare he? And so this is widely seen as retribution. That all gets brushed aside. Nobody cares about that. This guy, though, caught telling a fib. Not responsible for what actually happened, but caught not being entirely honest about something. And he is the fall guy. I mean, I'm not saying the guy, needs to live without shame or something like that, but it just seems awfully weird. It seems weird when the big guys always get away. It's kind of like one of those TV shows, you know, where you have to have the same characters every week, otherwise you have no show. You know, I think we'd have a country if we got rid of the big guys, the main characters, the lead actors, because that's really all they are. So anyway, Scooter Libby will be reporting for prison after he gets his affairs in order. They let you do that if you're high profile enough, apparently. You don't just get sentenced to jail or prison and dragged away screaming in handcuffs and shackles. No, you get to go home and talk with the accountant and arrange a schedule to feed the dog and whatever else needs to be done back home while you're away. And Paris Hilton got to do it. Scooter Libby gets to do it as well. So it's kind of a good deal, but at some point, he's going to have to report to the authorities, as we all must do. And I guess that's as good a lead-in as any for telling people that, yes, I, in fact, also have to report to the authorities. It's been a long time coming. I mean, I knew it was coming. It was inevitable. It was the kind of thing that you're just wondering, what day is it going to happen? And, I kind of knew it was going to be the first week of June in 2007. You might recall a couple of months ago, I got a postcard. Well, it wasn't really a postcard. It was kind of like a fold-out cardboard thing. It looks like a postcard when you get it, but then you open it up and it's really like an 8.5x11 sheet of paper. But not really 8.5x11. It's some bizarre shape. And it's got three little sections and all kinds of perforations. You can cut out parts, and then you have a little card, cut out another part, and you can make a little tent that you can put on a tape. I digress. The point is, I got this card a couple of months ago, and it was a summons. A summons to appear in a court with officers and judges and people with guns and metal detectors. And I was supposed to show up and surrender myself to serve as a potential juror. And this has happened several times in my life, actually. I've gotten summoned a few times. I might have even talked about it every single time it's happened. For those of you who spend hours following my every little detail, you can probably tell me better than I can tell myself. But this happened. I forget what month it was. It was sometime earlier in the year. I even called live on the air to see if I had to report the next day. And in fact, it turned out I did. And that's where I left it. And no, I didn't go the route of just not showing up. I wouldn't do that. And you shouldn't do it either. If you get summoned, this is a responsibility you should take seriously. Someone actually caring about what you might think. I mean, I knew there's no chance in hell that anyone was really going to care what I think down in a place like that. It's just a question of how much time gets to go by before they realize, hey, we don't want this guy near us, and I get sent away. Well, it turns out that it just wasn't a good day. And I realized that because it was after this show, and tomorrow I have the other show in the city. And to have to show up at a courthouse in the other direction, it's out in Riverhead someplace, which for those that don't know is, we're on Long Island, we're kind of halfway out of Long Island, Riverhead is two-thirds the way out, And New York City isn't on Long Island at all, so it's very inconvenient to have to go out there and then catapult myself back in time for the show. I just wasn't ready. I wasn't in the mood. So I called the special computerized touchtone service and just entered a few keys. And before I knew it, I had registered for a postponement over the phone to a computer. And I didn't hear another thing about it until a week or so ago when I got another one of those postcards. And basically, hitting, no human intervention at all, just hitting a bunch of tones makes one of those postcards appear in a couple of months. A computer prints it out. A computer sucks my name out of a list. A computer puts it in the mail. And I'm the first human to actually do anything with this. I'm the one that reads it. I'm the one that says, okay, here we go again. And so, I've been on a morning schedule all week long, because the first phone call I had to make was 4 p.m. on Friday to see if I had to report first thing Monday morning, and I didn't. But I figured, you know, I'd start getting into a morning schedule so that I'd wake up, not at 2 o'clock in the afternoon like I usually do, but maybe at like 7 or 8. It's a big change, it really is. And so Monday comes along, Monday 4 p.m., and I call again, and guess what? I don't have to show up on Tuesday. So I wasn't in the jury today. And then I just called a little while ago before the show. And guess what? No, I don't have to show up tomorrow. It's not a repeat of the last time. I'm off the hook for... Oh, very funny. I'm off the hook for tomorrow as well. And I don't have to show up on Wednesday, which means... I think it means... Either Thursday or Friday, I have to show up. Now, I don't know what happens here. Maybe somebody out there can enlighten me. You get a four-digit number. And the number goes from 0000 to, I think, 3,000. So that's 3,000 numbers. 3,000 computer-generated cards. Now, I think they're up to around 1,100 today. Maybe 1,200, 1,300. I'm only 300 numbers, actually no, I'm only 200 numbers away from the top, from the end. I'm not going to tell you my exact number, but I'm pretty close to the end. I'm wondering, if I'm so close to the end, is it possible that I could call every single day this week and not ever have to go in? And the only thing I have to worry about is getting off this crazy morning schedule I've gotten myself onto. That would be interesting. I've heard rumors that this happens. It's never happened to me. I've always had to go in at some point and sit in a room for hours and wait until my name gets called and I get disqualified for one reason or another. Never at my behest. I'm always willing to serve, but they really don't want me. And I think when I tell them I'm suing the city of New York City, I don't think that's going to go over well in a courtroom. I'm told that if you don't actually go in, if your number is not called, that you can get called up again a lot sooner than if you did go in. So, I don't know. This whole thing could happen again in a few months. I'll keep you updated, as always, with daily reports from the court, from the trial. I can do that, right? Yeah? Thumbs up from the USB legal team here. So, whatever's going on inside that courtroom, you'll know about right after it happens. But here's the weird thing about all this. The last time I actually did this, last time I actually went in, was September of 2001. So today was very kind of freaky for me, because the whole way September 11th played out for me was that I was up. I was already up and awake when it all started to go down. I'm never awake at 8:44 in the morning, but I was awake on that day. In fact, I had just turned on the TV set and noticed all kinds of nonsense passing for news, and I just was bemoaning the fact that, you know, there's no real news on television. And I kind of regret saying that, because that certainly was no longer true a few minutes later. But just like today, it was a Tuesday, and I was on a morning schedule because I was awaiting that summons, which had not come at that point. So I was kind of nervous today, kind of repeating history. So it didn't happen yet, but I'm still a little nervous about these things. Jury duty, what fun. What a tremendous amount of mental stimulation, that is. The one time I actually was on a jury before 2001, it was for some crazy automobile accident thing where somebody tapped somebody else's car, and of course the other person got whiplash, and we all knew that person was completely making it up. It was just, it wasn't that they were lying, it was that they were lying so badly, you know, and we couldn't talk about the case. All we could do was maybe exchange glances and roll our eyes or something like that, but we couldn't talk about the case until the evidence had been presented, and I was looking forward to deliberating and making sure these people didn't get a penny because they were just such bad liars. And then, after a couple of days of this, we found out that the other party had settled for something like $200,000. We couldn't believe it because we were not going to give them anything, but they fell prey to the legal system which says settle. Don't let logic work in your favor. Do what everybody else does. Plead out or pay up. So, yeah, that was my only real experience on a jury. I never got to say a word, but it was kind of fun. All right. All sorts of things going on in the world that, as usual, are mostly depressing. We are going to take phone calls today, so write down the number, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. Shall we go to the very top? I think we should. I mean, you probably heard about this whole missile defense thing going on in Eastern Europe. If you haven't, you really should, because it's all starting again. History is starting to repeat itself again because of the morons leading this nation. The ones who don't care that they're leading us right back down that road that we were able to get out of with our skins intact. I'm talking, of course, about the Cold War, where nuclear annihilation stared us in the face for a few decades, and we somehow managed to pull our sorry asses out of that danger. But now we're going right back into it, blithely right back into it. Now, Bush is over there right now. He's over in the Czech Republic, I believe. And he intends to convince them and the Poles to install what's known as a missile defense shield over there. And, you know, it all sounds so nice. It really sounds nice, the way it's portrayed in the mass media, the way the people behind it make it sound. Yeah, missile defense. You're defending yourself against missiles. Who would not want to do that? Who would not want to protect themselves against the horror of an incoming missile? And the Czech Republic and Poland, we're not protecting them against Russia. No. We're protecting them against Iran. Yeah, that'll do. Iran. And some of those other nasty countries down there. Never mind that the reach of any missile that Iran currently has or hopes to get is nowhere near the Czech Republic or Poland. But consider this. A missile defense program also has offensive capabilities. And that is what is worrying the Russians so much. That is what is pissing off the Russians so much. And we're just not paying any attention to that. Okay, the people calling, you know, I said the number, but it doesn't mean I'm taking calls right now. So you're just going to time out. That's the problem. Yeah, see, you timed out. The old days you could call and keep ringing for an hour, but those days are over, I'm afraid. Let me read you something from Noam Chomsky. This was written back in 2000. And like most things he writes, it contains quite a bit of wisdom. Following the dramatic failure of the proposed National Missile Defense System's recent test, the Senate rejected a proposal that would prohibit the Pentagon from deploying the system until it could prove it would work, which is another problem. Now that the Clinton administration has the go-ahead, yes, this goes back to the Clinton days. This is not just a Bush thing. An impassioned debate has erupted over whether it should build the defense system or scrap the whole thing. Now, I would prefer to respond to a slight reformulation of the question whether Clinton should ask the Pentagon to go ahead with the National Missile Defense System. This is for, I believe, the United States. The most hopeful prospect for the NMD, National Missile Defense, I think, is that the test fail, and very clearly because in the domain of nuclear strategy, appearance is likely to be interpreted as reality for familiar reasons. If a system is developed that seems feasible, China will respond by strengthening its deterrent, which will impel India to do the same, and Pakistan, etc., etc. According to press reports, a new national intelligence estimate predicts that NMD deployment will trigger buildup of nuclear-armed missiles by China, India, and Pakistan with a further spread into the Middle East. Russia will assume that such a system can be quickly upgraded and will therefore also regard it as a first-strike threat. A first-strike threat. As many have observed, Russia's only rational response would be to maintain and strengthen the existing Russian nuclear force, undermining hopes for nuclear disarmament. The threat to the United States and the world seems clear and intolerably high. Global concerns are not alleviated by other U.S. stands. Last November, the United States blocked the U.N. General Assembly resolution opposing space-based weapons, etc., etc. This is nothing new. This is back in 2000 this was written by Noam Chomsky. And the threats are still the same. So, yeah, if Russia is concerned about this, you pay attention to them. Because we happen to be talking to them now. We happen to be somewhat friendly with them now. But I got to tell you, you know, if you're listening to what's coming out of Moscow these days, it's getting increasingly angry. I can't say I don't understand why. The U.S. is simply ignoring their concerns. Our response is, well, why don't you just come over and help us design a system you're happy with? Kind of like talking down to a child. Today, Bush stuck his foot in it even further by saying that democratic reforms in Russia have been derailed. I mean, that might be the case. I saw what they did to the gay protesters last week, and it was disgusting. But a little diplomacy here, when you already have the leader of that country in a virtual panic over your plans, it's not the time to really dig the knife in and start criticizing and saying things like, in Russia, reforms that once promised to empower citizens have been derailed, with troubling implications for democratic development. It's just like we never learn, you know? We never seem to progress to the point where we can actually live together and do something constructive. No, we've got to go right back to what we're familiar with, lobbing missiles at each other and invading countries. And it's not just us. Our friends over in England, our friend Prime Minister Tony Blair, won't be around much longer. But, get this, he plans to push through a new anti-terrorism law before he steps down. He's stepping down this month. But before he leaves, he just wants to stick it to us one more time. And by us, I mean the human race by extension, but definitely the Brits. Really sorry for you guys. He wants to give wartime powers to police to stop and question people. Yeah, I could not make this up. The stop and question power would enable police to interrogate people about who they are, where they have been, and where they were going. Police would not need to suspect a crime had taken place. If suspects fail to stop or refuse to answer questions, they could be charged with a crime and fined. Police already have the power to stop and search people, but have no right to ask them their identity and movements. I'll tell you, you know, this is how it all ends. This is how our democratic system completely falls apart. I mean, yeah, you have threats. You have all sorts of dangers that we face every day. People who want to do bad things. But if I had to come up with a system to totally screw it up and give the other side, whatever that might be, what they want, which is the dissolution of our values, our system. This is it. I could not do better than what Blair and Bush have been doing over the past few years. Could not do better. And all of us sitting around watching this happen, I've said this before and I still believe it, we share the responsibility in this because we let it happen. We sit back and we let it happen. There's so much we could be doing. There's so much we could be doing to stop what's happening in the world, to stop what's happening locally, and join together and have a much louder voice. It's because we believe the propaganda that we have no power. We believe that. And that's just so incredibly sad. I was having a conversation with a friend earlier, and I kind of drew a parallel in my mind about this. Those of you who are going through bad things in your life, whatever they happen to be, whether you're miserable at school, whether they're abusing you there, or you're in some kind of horrible relationship, or unhappy at home, or just not where you want to be, you have to speak up. You have to do something. You have to let those around you know, hey, I'm not happy. I don't like what you did. I don't like where this is going. And if you don't do that, how can you complain about your current plight in life, about your where you're standing, where you're going? You determine that. Nobody else does. So, yeah, if you're unhappy, you got to say something. And I sense, looking around me, looking at all the people I meet on a daily basis, well, it's not that many, actually, but the people I run into occasionally. People are not happy here. They're not content. They don't want things to be going this way. They don't want to be pissing off the Russians. They don't want to be fighting wars. They don't want our soldiers to be dying in ever bigger numbers. You notice this? You're reading the newspaper now, and now the numbers are, well, eight soldiers died yesterday and 10 the day before. It's not just one and two like it was at the beginning of this thing. It's so much bigger now. All these plans, the plans that the Democrats handed to the Republicans. Yeah, okay, go ahead. Give it another shot. They're not working. The buildup of troops at the beginning of the year, not working. We're just having the wool pulled over our eyes. And I don't know how many times it has to happen for us to realize this and to do something about it. But it just keeps happening. Now, a few weeks ago, it almost seemed, except to cynics like me, that the Democrats might actually show some guts, stand up to the Republicans, and make it really, really difficult, even though Bush vetoed the bill, make it really, really difficult to keep funding this thing. Forcing the hand, forcing us to actually look at this thing and fight about it ourselves. But no, they pulled back. They relented. They said, okay, we'll sign the bill, we'll fund this war, and instead of having a deadline, what we're going to do instead is have these things called benchmarks. In other words, you have to be at a certain point in Iraq, and if you're not at that point, well, then you get a penalty, and that's bad, and you get a penalty. And, okay, because that might be a little too rough, too harsh on the Republicans. We don't want to offend them. Let's give President Bush the power to not enforce the penalty if he feels that that's the way to go. Yeah, that'll show them. That'll show them how serious we are about stopping this thing. Come on. Oh, my God. It's embarrassing. But yet, we all sit around. We all sit around watching sports on TV and say, yeah, that sucks, doesn't it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You stand up and you speak out about it in whatever way you can. Why aren't there anti-war demonstrations every single day? And the only ones that ever seem to happen are run by a bunch of nuts who keep fighting with each other and bringing in other issues that have nothing to do with this issue. You're anti-abortion, you're anti-war, you know what? You're my friend. I don't agree with you on one thing, I agree with you on another. I'm willing to unite on this. So many people are so stubborn and thick-headed that they have to have somebody who's exactly like them or they're not even going to speak to them. And that's pretty much the definition of the left in this country, unfortunately. It's got to stop. We've got to wake up. We've got to do things. We have no right to complain unless we do. And this Bush monster, we created him. We made him. Hard as it might be to believe. I mean, yeah, he was created by the press and by the political machinery, but we keep it going. We keep it going by accepting it. And we don't have to accept things. People over in Germany, you know, they're not accepting in Rostock with the G8 summit going on there right now. They're throwing rocks and burning cars. It's not good what they're doing. Those are troublemakers. But they're very angry about something. Maybe it'll wake the world up and make them ask questions about what it is they're angry about. Maybe it'll make the world say, what a bunch of idiots. It's risky to do things like that. But there's a much bigger group of people over there who are demonstrating and making their voices heard without throwing things. And they're just as angry and just as determined. And if there were more of them, more frequently in more places, I dare say things would start to change. Anyway, I only meant to spend a minute on that. Sort of got away from me. If you know of things that are going on, positive things, things that might actually start the tide turning, let us know. And we'll let other people know. And that's the way this kind of thing happens. Remember, the media is controlled by the same people that are funding this thing. The same people that profit from it. Defense contractors and mega corporations, they all benefit from continued arms races and all sorts of death around the planet. Peace is not really a moneymaker for them. And they certainly don't want people acting like individuals. They want people to just buy their products, not ask questions, not complain when they get poisoned, and not notice that the music they listen to sucks, and they're not having their brains stimulated with interesting discussions, and the only news story on TV is about how many days Paris Hilton's going to have to serve. Absolutely pathetic. All right, what's going on in the rest of the world? I don't mean to be so negative all the time. I really don't. I don't think I'm being negative. Let's assume for a second that being angry is not a negative thing. There's always two camps to these discussions. There are people who believe, as I do, that you have the power to make change, but you have to take that power. And you kind of lose the right to complain about things if you don't do anything. And then there's a slight variation of that, which kind of gets on your case for complaining in the first place. It says, well, you shouldn't complain if you can't do better. And that's, you know, you're getting close, but it's not really the right sentiment. Like, I'm going to get some flack for complaining about the heat. Yeah, it's 95 degrees in the studio, but you know, Emmanuel, it's easy to complain. I don't see you doing anything about it. Yeah, you know, I'll bring a bunch of ice cubes or something next time. I'll bring a portable air conditioner. There could be a bonfire down the hallway in the record library, and I could mention that, and someone would say, you know, Emmanuel, a lot of complaining here. I don't see any constructive acts on your part. But there's a bonfire in the record library. I mean, it's hot enough for one thing, but this kind of thing isn't right. There isn't a bonfire in the record library. I'm just using that as an example. I don't know how these rumors get started. The point is, yes, complain, but also be prepared to keep going. Don't expect other people to do everything. You got to do something. And you'd think with the internet out there that it would be an easy thing. Okay, this is sort of related. So many Fort Lewis soldiers, this is actually a very sad story, so many Fort Lewis soldiers are being killed in Iraq. That's in Washington State, by the way. The Army base will no longer hold individual memorial services. Yeah, do you need anything to say it clearer than that? Yeah, starting this month, Fort Lewis will hold one memorial a month for all the dead soldiers. Unbelievable. There are 10,000 Fort Lewis troops, by the way, over in Iraq right now. And then there are those other people, too. And this annoys me. The people that say, yeah, you know, these idiots, they volunteer, they're getting what they deserve. I just want to smack these people. I really do. It's got nothing to do with mistakes that you might have made in judgment. These are human beings. In fact, you know what? These are some of the best human beings because they're willing to go out and risk their lives to believe in something. Whether or not we believe in it ourselves, they do. And I happen to think it's monumentally stupid and very misguided. But as far as putting your money where your mouth is, or whatever the term is, I don't think there's a better example of that. And these are the people that are getting mowed down and decapitated and having their limbs cut off and getting all sorts of exposure to chemicals. And the people who have to live in hell for the rest of their lives back here, if they're lucky enough to even make it back. So it's not all about just the people marching in the streets here to keep their kids from going over there. It's about saving the ones who are there already, who are our friends, our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors. All right. This is great. While all this is going on, of course, a congressman is being charged with taking bribes all over the world. Remember this 2 years ago, U.S. Representative William Jefferson was charged with a global campaign to solicit bribes. Actually, he was 2 years ago, he was raided. His offices were raided. Now he's been charged with soliciting bribes, obstructing justice, engaging in racketeering. I mean, how do you find time for racketeering when you're a congressman? I guess if you don't do your job. He's a veteran Louisiana Democrat, and he actually won re-election after this started to happen. He faces 16 criminal counts and a long time in prison. And I remember when they raided his office, there was all this outrage on both sides of the Hill that this is some kind of violation. We can't have law enforcement invading a political office. Well, you know what? You can. If there's evidence the guy's up to something. And they found $90,000 in his freezer. That's unusual. I'm not saying that's evil. Just kind of unusual. Kind of suspicious. And if there is a case against this guy, I want to hear it. And I think we all should hear it. And if there are congressmen actually engaged in this kind of thing, they need to go down. You use that kind of logic against taking down somebody like this, you have to use that kind of logic against taking down someone like Bush or Cheney. And so far, maybe that is the logic that's been used. All right. How about something on the lighter side? We'll take phone calls in about 5 minutes or so. Is that fair? 631-632-9872, country code 1. In Texas, of course, where all the doomed inmates await their executions, Patrick Knight is collecting jokes and will pick the funniest one for his last statement before he is set to die on June 26th, I'm sorry, for shooting his neighbors, Walter and Mary Werner. That was almost 16 years ago outside Amarillo. Now, Randall County Sheriff Joel Richardson thinks the whole idea is insensitive. This tells you a little bit about the guy's character. I'm not sure how you actually submit a joke. I'm not sure if I didn't want to tell you if I did know. But Knight says, I'm not trying to disrespect the Werners or anything like that. I'm not trying to say I don't care what's going on. I'm about to die. I'm not going to sit here and whine and cry and moan and everything like that when I'm facing the punishment I've been given. I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for pen pals or anything like that. All I'm asking for is jokes. He's had about 250 wisecracks mailed to him on death row or emailed to a friend who has a website for him. Lawyer jokes are real popular, he said. Some of them are a little on the edge. What's on the edge when you're on death row? I mean, come on. You got pretty much a blank check there. Continuing here, I'm not going to use any profanity if I can find the one I want or any vulgar content. I got to say, you've got some self-control there facing whatever it is they use over there to kill people. And you're not going to use any profanity or vulgarity. Must protect the children, I suppose. It wouldn't be bad if it was a little bit on the edge. That would be cool. Well, I don't know. Are we actually going to hear the joke when it gets sent to him? Are we going to find out the email address to send the jokes? Do we get a prize if we pick the... I mean, it's all crazy and horrible. I know that. But what isn't these days? No lines left to cross. And if you think this is all nice, normal behavior, and it's all because of mankind, think again, all right? The natural world is as messed up as anything. Picture this. You're lying in bed, all right, just asleep and minding your own business. And what do you think happens in Jerusalem or near Jerusalem? A wild leopard leaps through your window and attacks you in your bed. I'm not kidding. A man clad only in underwear and a T-shirt wrestled a wild leopard to the floor and pinned it for 20 minutes. I can't pin my cat for 20 minutes. How do you pin a wild leopard for 20 minutes? The cat leapt through a window of his home, hopped into bed with his sleeping family. Wasn't enough just to leap through the window. You got to hop into the place where you're going to be noticed the most. This kind of thing doesn't happen every day, said 49-year-old Arthur Demouche, a nature guide. I don't know why it did, or why I did it. This is the guy who actually wrestled the leopard. A nature guide? What are the odds of that? I wasn't thinking. I just acted. Apparently that's something the leopard could say as well. Wasn't thinking. Just acted. Anyway, they say it was probably food that attracted the big cat into the house. Leopards living near humans are usually too old to hunt in the wild and resort to chasing down, get this, domestic dogs and cats for food. I didn't know cats ate other cats for food. Seems a bit not right. Anyway, this is great. Dimash's pet cat was in the bed with him at the time. What a story he has to tell. Along with his young daughter, who, guess why she was there, she had been frightened by a mosquito in her own room. A mosquito. You don't like the mosquito, kid? Here's a leopard. All right, yeah. Now let's hear you complain about the mosquitoes. Okay. Some listener mail, and then we'll get to the phones. 631-632-9872. If you time out and get a dial tone, just call right back. We're sorry. That's the way the phone company does it these days. A lot of feedback on North Korea. Dear Manuel, I thought you would be interested in taking a look at the current May/June issue of Good Magazine. How do you get a magazine named Good? I mean, it's a good name, no pun intended, but wow. Good Magazine. Yeah, there's a feature on North Korea written by someone who has actually been there. Looks like only a portion of the piece is available online, however. Looks like an interesting magazine. That's Louis from Rigo Park. Thanks for writing in, and I'll be sure to check that out. Here's a letter that I just had to read. I decided to write an email after hearing you beg for feedback on this week's Off the Wall. The reason no one is writing you is because your audio clips of you hanging out with a buddy in North Korea and random clips of North Korean TV and radio is boring. I'm seriously not looking forward to the Pyongyang episode. George W. Bush rules. You know, if it wasn't for that last line, I might have actually believed you. But thanks for writing all the same. I love to get mail like this. I really do. It's always fun. It brightens my day. And I wasn't begging for response there, just asking for a little more. It's always good to get a little more response. Then that was followed by this letter entitled Yukami. It didn't quite go the way I thought it was going to go, though. It says, Yukami, go to Iran. No, really, please go to Iran. I want to hear the inside story. I really enjoyed the Cuba and North Korea reports, and I think Iran would also be good. Think about it, signed Brandon. I will think about it. I will think about it as soon as the craziness stops down there. Do you know today's the 40th anniversary of the 1967 war in the Mideast? 40 years ago today. And what a long way we've come. Wow. And it just goes to show you that these kinds of things can go on for centuries if you let them. If it was possible, I would launch the entire Middle Eastern region into space and have it come back down maybe in 200 years, see if people have settled their differences then. If not, back up you go. It's just depressing to the rest of us. Good God already. Okay, yeah, this is from Stephen. I just got my amateur radio license a couple of months ago, so it was a bit late for me to get to Dayton. Well, you know, Stephen, you don't need a license to go to Dayton. They don't check at the door or anything like that. It's open to everybody. Everybody comes there. Little kids, dogs, basically, it's open to the world. It's great, great fun. Next year, I hope to make it. If I would have known that 2600 was going to be there, I would have made the trip sooner. As a Canadian, and this is in response to last week's show where we were talking to our friend Lurid over in Ohio, actually in Dayton, about all kinds of bizarre legal problems he's facing and the prospect of prison. And by the way, his hearing last week was postponed due to health reasons, and we'll keep you updated when that is rescheduled. As a Canadian, I'd like to say our court system is better, but I'm afraid it's not. There are many people here that have the same problem Lurid has. He has my sympathy. I've been lucky enough to not have this problem. I wish him well and hope he can get through this. And you leave your call sign. You know, I'm not sure if I should read your call sign over the air. Maybe that's not what you wanted. But I will note that it begins with a V. And I've noticed that old radio stations and old TV stations in Newfoundland begin with V, because Newfoundland used to be a different country. Did you know that? It didn't used to be in part of Canada. I mean, you know that, obviously, but people here probably don't know that. We probably don't even know Canada is a different country. But V is what frequencies, radio stations, TV stations began with back before the Canadian days, and they've been grandfathered. There are still a few of those up there. Every other station in Canada, I believe, begins with C, and here in the United States, it's W and K. And, of course, in Mexico, it's X, in Ecuador, it's H, and I think that's pretty much everything I know. Okay, here's another letter on the Lurid situation. Hello, I'm writing in regards to the individual you guys had on the last show. I, too, have had some disturbing run-ins with the law. In 1999, in my hometown of Fort Smith, Arkansas, there were a rash of vehicle and garage break-ins that happened over the course of about 3 months. The news and law enforcement personnel released a description of one of the individuals believed to have committed most or all of these crimes. The description was 6 foot tall, short blonde hair. I'm 6 foot four, with bright red hair and a red beard. Well, a female friend of mine and I were eating ice cream at a local park when a police officer was making his rounds. They have nothing better to do than watch young females playing at the park. There were a few that were accused of molestation, actually. This cop thought we looked suspicious. He called in our IDs and detained us for about 45 minutes until another officer arrived. At that point, he proceeded to place me under arrest for the aforementioned crimes without a warrant. They had my vehicle towed, destroyed the interior to the point it couldn't be driven, looking for stolen property, and they charged me $600 for the impound. I was finally able to get in touch with my parents about 8 hours later after a nice long talking to by detectives. My friends and family posted bail. The following day, my mother spoke with the head detective over the case, and he said that they have made a grave mistake and were sorry. They refunded my bail and gave me my car back. They did not refund the impound fees due to the fact the impound was privately owned by one of the cop's brothers. Oh, my God. And they had no control over private dealings of the towing company. Right. All of the charges were supposed to be dropped, but to this day they are still in my record as no prost. I guess that means not processed. Every time there is a background check, it shows 2 felony counts of breaking and entering and 2 felony counts of theft of property. I followed all the steps and contacted ACIC, which is the Arkansas Criminal Investigation Center, and still have this on my record. I am 27 now. I used to be a broadcast engineer for the Hearst Corporation. I lost that job of many years, and now I am reduced to running cable and doing odd jobs. I'm a veteran of the military, a college graduate, and before this, I had not even received a parking ticket, and now I'm treated like a criminal. I understand this gentleman's plight. Keep your chin up and never, never, never give up or give in. They can never take away your ability to think and have free will. All right. Oslord Saint, thanks for writing in with that. Horrible story. Excellent letter. And one final letter. Oh, all the calls disappear. I've got one final letter that I'm going to those phones. They were ringing off the hook a second ago. 631-632-9872. Dear Emmanuel, I listen to your show over the internet from Toronto. I was born and raised near Moscow. There is a common belief among Russian folk, or superstition if you like, that a bird's poop landing on one's clothes is a charm of good luck. Thanks for the show and good luck to you. Well, I guess I don't need good luck if a bird did that to me over there in North Korea. And what are the odds of a North Korean bird doing that to you? Yeah, that must be really good luck. Okay, the phones are ringing again. Let's see who's out there in Radio Land. Again, 631-632-WUSB. And good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Emmanuel, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Nice to speak to you finally. I've been listening to you for about probably 8 years now. And I remember one of your friends, Rebel, used to call in and harass you just about every show.
Every show, yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
Thanks for the memories of that. I don't know. He still calls in the other show.
Oh, does he really?
I don't think he knows about this one.
I also wanted to ask you about your travels to Luxembourg.
My travels? I only been in Luxembourg in 1989.
Okay. I thought you went maybe a few years ago when you did your trek across. You know, you weren't flying. You were boating and then going through Europe and Asia.
Not Luxembourg, no. I went through a good part of Europe, but somehow I managed to skip that tiny little country.
Okay.
But what do you want to know about Luxembourg?
You know, I'm just interested. They have a high annual average income, which is the highest in the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it's a great place, though.
Well, it's very mountainous, and well, like a lot of places in the world compared to us, very peaceful. Not a whole lot of crime, friendly people, that kind of thing.
Mm.
It is rather tiny, though. It's not the biggest place in the world.
That's what I hear.
Claustrophobic.
I'm from a place in rural Tennessee, and actually some of my wealthy neighbors moved to Luxembourg just out of sort of disgust.
Uh-huh.
That's for a number of things. It's really strange, but they just kind of up and moved, which they had the means to do something like that. So I guess more power to them.
If you have the means to go someplace, definitely go someplace because, you know, you're not getting any younger, so you might as well see the world while it's out there before it gets destroyed.
Exactly.
So any comments on the things we've been talking about tonight?
You know, I caught a little bit of the show. I missed the first bit. I would urge you to go to Iran, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a great project.
Yeah, well, I'd like to. It would be interesting for sure. Maybe in the winter time when it's not quite so hot, because I think it gets pretty warm over there, and I don't really like heat. I don't like hot studios. I don't like hot countries. Yeah, I guess that would be a cool place to check out.
Yeah, for sure.
Any comments on the world situation today?
I could talk about it. I don't prefer talking about politics to anyone or any of my friends or my family because it's so disgusting to me, honestly.
Doesn't that just make things stay the same, though?
You're right, it does. But being criticized and attacked for anything,
so
it's really discouraging.
Yeah, saying people over there don't agree with you.
They do, but, you know, anything you can say, no matter how logically put together it may be, can be attacked.
Mm-hmm.
That's the old fallacy about the people of our country. There's no respect. It's almost like an artwork. You should respect another's opinions rather than blindly and constantly attacking their honest thoughts.
Well, there are civilized ways of having arguments, and then there are the crazy ways of having arguments, and I think the latter is pretty much utilized by people who don't have much of an argument to begin with.
You're right. And like I said, I come from a place in rural Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
so I suppose it's probably a bit worse.
How do you stay sane? No offense to where you live, but how?
I hear that question a lot, actually. I tell you, man, growing up was a bit of a strange thing for me. I'm not going to say I'm inherently better than others that I grew up around, my peers or so forth. I just somehow managed to keep my willpower, keep my eyes toward the future, and be able to rely on my family for companionship, mostly.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm going to be a graduate student in the fall, graduate assistant, and I hope to one day become a professor.
Well, that's great.
Perhaps I'll be able to make some changes at that point, and I'll be able to spread knowledge and research without being blatantly criticized by others. You know?
Well, if you're being blatantly criticized, it's because you're striking a nerve, and if you're striking a nerve, I think you're doing something right. You're getting people to face something they don't want to face, and they win if you just keep quiet and don't say anything.
Yeah.
So by all means, keep annoying people if you believe in something, and Don't listen to them telling you to be quiet and shut up, because obviously your speaking out is an inconvenience and a good kind.
Exactly. One other thing. Mm-hmm. I know you love to travel. You should come to Tennessee, rural Tennessee. It's a sight, man. I know there are no famous tourist destinations, mm-hmm. really, but you should come through.
I've been to Nashville. I've been to Memphis, but I liked it, too. I went there right after Gore sort of lost the election. I was there for a hacker conference, and maybe I'll go there again for another one.
Yeah, some of the nature spots in rural Tennessee, most beautiful places I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a very nice place. Listen, I'm going to take another phone call.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for your call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Yes, can you hear me? I'm hearing touchtones. Is anybody there? No. Okay, apparently somebody got all confused and hit tones. If that was you and my voice confused you, I'm sorry. But call us back, 631-632-9872. These phones, I don't know. Okay, what else is going on? Oh, this is interesting. I just learned about this, actually. In fact, I might have to go to a site on the Internet to actually read this. You ever print something out and it just doesn't print out properly? All the formatting is crazy. Yeah, that's what happens when people make these complex websites that have charts and graphs, and then you try to print out the chart and the graph, it doesn't quite work out very nicely. This is a schedule of smart car appearances. Yeah, the smart car is coming to the United States next year, first quarter of 2008. And if you go to the website, not that I'm giving out advertising or anything like that, but people have expressed an interest. Website is smartusa.com. You'll get all kinds of information on that. There is a street smart road show coming up. In fact, it's in progress right now. What's today's date? Does anybody know what today's date is? It's the 5th? Okay. June 5th. I can tell you where they are right now. They are in Los Angeles. Yeah. May 19th through June 6th. And May 19th to June 6th, and the 15th through the 20th, I imagine, in June as well, in Los Angeles. They'll be in San Diego June 8th through 13th. If you go to smartusa.com, look for Smart on Tour, you'll see where all the smart cars are going to show up. Now, they're letting people test drive these things, and you get to touch them and take pictures with them, I guess. They're going to be in Boston June 30th to July 4th. Maybe I'll go up for that. Maybe I'll drive my smart car up for that. Show them a thing or two. New York City, August 4th through August 15th. So all over the country, you're going to see smart cars. And we were first. We were first right here. Yeah, not to rub it in too much. The TV station situation. This is another thing that just is kind of annoying. It's happening in Pakistan. The Pakistani government has blocked the transmission of the Geo News TV channel because they don't like what they're saying. Yeah. Political parties, civil societies, and journalistic organizations have condemned the bans and demanded the government allow the country's news media to operate without restrictions. That's Pakistan. They're our friends. Venezuela is doing the exact same thing. Venezuelan police have fired tear gas and plastic bullets into a crowd of thousands, protesting a decision by President Hugo Chavez that forced a television station critical of his leftist government off the air, that being RCTV. And I've gotten flack already for criticizing that. How dare you criticize Hugo Chavez? On the other show, I even got called a right-winger for doing that. I'm sorry, you know, I don't care if you're on the left or on the right. If you do something stupid, I'm going to call you on it. That's just the way it is. And I like Hugo Chavez for the most part, only because he's such a thorn in the side of the Bush administration. And that's why I hate to see him do something dumb like this, something that's so obviously going to unravel and cause grief in the future. You don't cut off your opponents. You don't shut people up. You don't win arguments that way. You win arguments with words, with logic, with evidence. That's how you win the people over. And this kind of thing doesn't work. I sure hope he sees that. All right. Looks like we're out of time. Again. I'm sorry. We'll be back again next week. Our email address is otw@2600.com. And we'd love to hear from you. Of course, we'll try to read as many cards and letters as we get. Well, obviously, not cards and letters, but email. otw@2600.com. Tomorrow night, another edition of Off the Hook on the other radio station. But keep tuned to this one, because you never know what you're going to hear next. You don't know if you're going to be coming through two channels or one channel. You don't know if the studio is 105 degrees or if ice cubes are forming. You don't know if there are bonfires burning in various parts of the building. You just know what we tell you is going on, because that's the nature of radio, that's the nature of media. We paint the picture, but we ask you to help us paint the picture as well. That's what our listeners are for. And over the years, that's what our listeners have done here at this very special place. We've been around 30 years this month. Hard to believe. WUSB signed on the air in 1977, June 27th. So mark that day on your calendar and sing a little song for us or something. And, hey, we'll see you again next week and the weeks after that. And hopefully the world will be a better place. Have a good night.